Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe it's a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail, and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us each week as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to another episode of Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
My name's Jamie.
And we wanted to, number one, thank you for joining us today. And number two, wanted to start off with a little story.
I love stories.
Very much. While sailing through a pitch black night, a captain sees a light on a collision course with his ship. Reaching for his radio, he says, "Change your course 10 degrees east." "Change your course 10 degrees west," comes the reply. The captain responds, "I'm a Navy captain. Change your course, sir." "I'm a seaman second class," comes the reply. "Change your course, sir." The captain, now furious and enraged, says, "I'm piloting a battleship. I am not changing course." And the man replies, "Well, I'm in a lighthouse. It's your call."
Yeah, that might make you want to change your course for sure.
Yes, change is the only constant in life. You think you know exactly the way things are going to go, how things are going to happen, and then something always makes you have to change your course. Nothing better illustrates this concept for Jamie and I than learning to pilot a sailboat.
Yes, a sailboat. So it's always been on my bucket list for, I don't know, a lot of years of wanting to learn to sail. And when I say that, it's not like sailing around the world. It's not like I had this dream of wanting to sail around the world. I just always thought, wouldn't it be fun just to learn to sail, just to go out to a lake and put up your sail and go flying across the lake, and you don't have to depend on the engines and all that stuff. So we kind of tried to make that happen.
Yes. To kind of give you a little bit of background for those of you that don't know us very well, Jamie, my nickname for her is the Queen of PVC Pipe. And the reason that is because there is not a project in our house that we don't start and the words don't come out of my wife at some point in the discussion, "Well, you know, we can make that out of PVC." And I appreciate her MacGyvering ability. It has saved us a lot of time. She gets it from her dad.
He could make something out of nothing. That was the way my dad was.
Yes. And me being the totally inept mechanical person, I always default to Jamie because it's like, yeah, whatever, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. So we really couldn't afford a sailboat at the time.
No, we couldn't.
So Jamie came up with this idea. We got an inflatable boat. And it wasn't a small inflatable boat. I mean, it was a two-person boat.
Yeah.
You know.
It was.
And jury-rigged it with PVC pipe and wooden platform for the bottom. And, I mean, the rudder was
a cutting board.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yes. She took a cutting board, drilled holes through it. We made a rudder out of a cutting board. And I still remember the first time taking this out. I mean, number one, it took 45 minutes to put the thing together on the shore of the lake. And after we got it all together and we get on the thing and we raise the sail and we go out onto the lake. Yes, we were slightly successful, but the problem was the boat would always go sideways.
It would go forward too, but it would kind of go forward sideways.
Simultaneously.
At the same time, yes.
And we kept just sitting there going, "What in the world?" And Jamie finally looked at me after investigating it and said, "The problem is we don't have a dagger board." For those of you who do not know, the dagger board is the long blade. It's a piece of wood, PVC, fiberglass, whatever it's made out of, that goes down through the bottom of the boat. And it goes down far enough to kind of keep the waves from pushing you left and right.
Yes.
And as we said, we had an inflatable boat. And you can't cut a hole in an inflatable boat to shove a piece of wood down it.
No. So it was a good experiment.
Yeah.
But it didn't work well. And so after taking that out, I think we took it out a couple times. Mm-hmm. And then once we figured out what the problem was, we kind of began to investigate what we could do. Everybody said, well, if you want to learn to sail, the best thing to learn to sail on is a sunfish sailboat.
Yeah.
So I began investigating what a sunfish sailboat was. And everybody was like, oh, you know, you can get them really cheap. They're not real pricey, you know. And lo and behold, we were able to obtain a sunfish sailboat. Honestly, it was for free.
Yes.
We didn't pay anything for it.
Yes, we found it on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who really don't have a concept of what a sunfish sailboat is, it's a one or two person dinghy size sailboat. It's 13 feet long, 4 feet wide, and weighs about 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, imagine taking a 13 foot sailboat and strapping it to like a 7 foot minivan. There was boat hanging off the bat and boat hanging off the front, and we had that thing strapped down very good.
It was going to need a little bit of work done on it. So we began to get some literature on how to fix it, how to add some cracking in it. It wasn't, you know, obviously it wasn't brand new, but this was just a learning boat for us. It was something that was going to teach us how to sail. We were going to learn how to sail. And so I wasn't looking to spend a bunch of money. So getting the boat free worked out well for us. But we had to do a little bit of repair work on it ahead of time before we could take it out on the water. I can remember being in our backyard, and we set it up in the backyard. And I remember putting the sail up. And I know for a fact our neighbors had to have been looking out the window at us like, what kind of nut job neighbors do we have who have this sailboat up in the backyard with their sail, you know?
Well, yes. And one of the times we actually took it and set it in our swimming pool, set it up.
I remember that.
Because there is a very famous picture of you on Facebook,
yes,
sitting in the sailboat in the swimming pool.
And I was doing that because I was trying to see if it was taking on water. I figured if it's taking on water, this is the best place to find out. I didn't want to find out in the middle of the lake.
True,
so.
True. So we really couldn't afford professional sailing lessons. They are not cheap at all. So we went to the school of YouTube to learn how to sail.
Yes. You know, I actually purchased a used book on specifically how to sail sunfish boats, watched YouTube videos, and I'll tell you what, I thought, okay, this is going to be easy. Everybody talked about how fun it was going to be, and you can do this, and I thought, okay, this is going to be awesome. You know, I was so excited, and, you know, one of the things they talked about doing before you actually took your boat out on a ride out on the lake or ocean or whatever was to learn how to deal with your boat if it capsized. So in other words, if the wind blew it sideways, which could happen in this kind of a sailboat, know how to upright the boat.
Yes.
So we took it to the lake, practiced that.
Yes, it was the very first time we had ever taken it to a lake. And we were camping in a campsite nearby, and we took it out that day, set the sail up, you know, got our life jackets on, we're out there. Jamie looks at me and she says, we need to learn how to practice riding the boat after it capsized. Okay. So what you do in this situation is when the boat capsizes, the idea is you're supposed to stand on the dagger board and pull the boat back over upright and then climb in. Well, we're out here on our first day, total novices at this. And what we didn't count on was we were practicing this on a very windy day. So we purposely capsized the boat, which I was a pro at. I could easily capsize the boat. Got on there, stood on the dagger board, pulled it over, and the minute that boat came upright, the sail caught the wind perfectly, and that boat took off.
It did.
And I have never seen my wife swim so fast in her entire life. She caught up to the boat and was able to get in it. I'm just floating in the water with my mouth hanging open.
Well, I will say that, you know, my years of swimming came into play. I like to swim. That it's my sport. It's my thing. And when that happened, I definitely got to play out my swimming career right there and trying to catch
your sprint. You know, it was just one of those times where it was like, you think you're in control, you think you know what you're doing. Well, one thing that you have to understand about sailing, it's not as simple as just raise your sail and off you go.
No, I mean, after that incident occurred, it gave us a new appreciation for sailing. We came to realize real quick that it wasn't going to be as easy as we thought. And I think after trying to educate ourselves a little bit, we decided to take the boat back out. And we went to a little lake here in St. Louis called Crevecoeur Lake, decided, okay, that's a good sailing lake. It's small. So if we get into trouble, boy, at least we're not too far away.
We're not too far away from the shore.
So we took the boat to Crevecoeur Lake. And, you know, I can't explain the exhilaration, because there is an exhilaration when you get in there and the wind kind of picks up and it grabs the sail and you start flying across the lake. And it's exciting and it's wonderful. But one thing I think people don't realize about sailing is it's not as easy as just saying, okay, I'm at point A and now I want to go to point B. It's not like you point your boat in that direction and it's just going to go that way.
No.
It depends on how the wind is blowing. If the wind is blowing behind you, behind the sail, well, yeah, you might be able to get to point B and get there pretty quickly. But if the wind's not blowing very strong, you may not be getting there very quickly. And if the wind's not blowing in exactly the right direction towards point B, then you'll have to be doing something called tacking.
Yes.
And tacking is when basically you're moving that boat back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like a zigzag pattern.
Yes.
To try to get to point B.
And you have to capture the wind just right. The sail has to be the right direction. Rudder has to be pointed the right way. And the one thing we really came to learn is, if there's no wind at all, you have to pull out your paddle and paddle your way back.
You know, we had an incident happen one time where we took off from the shore and the wind seemed like it was great. Everything seemed wonderful. We get out in the middle of the lake. And when I say the wind stopped, it stopped. It was over. There was no more wind. There was no wind.
Yes.
And we sat there in the middle just pointing the sail every direction we could and nothing was happening. We literally sat in that lake not knowing what to do. And if we were honest, Paul and I got into more fights on that boat because we couldn't figure out what to do and what are we going to do now. And it brought a lot of frustration. And eventually, after we sat out there, you know, for 10, 15, 20 minutes with no wind, and it was like, oh yeah, we have this little emergency paddle that was like, you know, maybe 18, 24 inches long. And in order to even paddle, you know, you had to lay down on the front of it. So just imagine, you know, my husband laying down on the front of this little boat. You know, it's not like a paddle board where you got a big long paddle and you can stand up. Oh no, this is a little bitty, I call it a weenie paddle. Yes. And you lay down on the front and little by little, you know, you make your way back to the shore. And it was super frustrating.
Yes, because one of the things is with the boat being 4 feet wide, it's not like a canoe. We've kayaked, we've canoed.
Yep.
And if you're doing the paddle on one side and you switch over to the other and so on, and that's how you paddle. But if you're doing it on a 4 foot boat and you're using a 2 foot paddle, it's like did a little bit and then you'd have to go all the way over to the other side. So it wasn't seamless. If we were honest, sailing was Jamie's dream bucket list thing. It was not mine. I don't like not being in control, especially out on the water. You want to be in control. And the thing you learn is the wind is who is in control.
Not too long ago, we sold that boat. And as weird as it was when the man who bought it drove away with our boat, I actually cried.
Yeah.
And I cried because the experience of sailing that boat, learning to sail it, taught me some things about life. And the things that it taught me is sailing that boat is the way life is. Mm-hmm. Things don't always go the way that you want them to go. You're constantly having to change the direction of the sail in order to catch the wind. And there's times in life where the wind doesn't seem to be blowing and you have to trust God. And I think it tells a big story about what happens in our lives and the circumstances that come into our lives and how we handle those circumstances.
Absolutely. It's one of the things, the word that comes to mind when we talk about this is the word pivot. And that really sums up sailing, is if the wind's not blowing a certain direction, you have to pivot your plans and yes. go another way.
Yep.
It's the same thing with life. There are so many times in life where you think this is the direction you're going to go. This is how you're planning to go. This is what your idea is. And things don't work out that way. And you have to pivot.
Yes.
And you have to change. I mean, one of the things Jamie and I were talking about last night was how marriage is all about pivoting. I mean, think of it this way. You start out as newlyweds and you and me against the world, you know, you're happy, you're excited, everything's brand new and sparkly. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you're a parent. And you have to pivot because it's not just about the two of you anymore. Now there's mm-hmm. this little life you have
the
to
things
take care
that
of.
You used to be able to do, just you and your husband. All of a sudden now your plans have to include a child and you may not be able to be as free
yes.
as you were before.
Well, and even with the marriage, you have to learn to pivot at that time because you've spent the past 18, 20 years being a parent, mm-hmm. making sure your kid gets to school, making sure they get their homework done, making sure all this stuff. And then they're gone. They're out of the house. They've either gone all the way to college or they've moved out. And the next thing you know, you're sitting across the table and it's just the two of you again.
And if you're not careful, you'll not know who that person is that you've spent your however many years together because yes. your world's revolved around your children. And so once again, your life pivots again. And then grandchildren come along and your life pivots again. And then you become older and your life pivots again. And so I think definitely marriage is a place of pivoting.
Yes. Something else that jumped out at me when I was thinking about this is the point in your life where you have to pivot after you lose your parents. And that was really a difficult time for me. I mean, I lost my mom a long time ago, a number of years ago, about 35 years ago. And that was a major change. But my dad passed away a few years ago. And that was a major pivot in my life because dad was always kind of the patriarch of the family.
Yes.
He was the person, you know, we defaulted to for certain decisions. And he was the person you went to for advice. And, you know, he was kind of the sage, wise man. And it was like when he wasn't there, I had to pivot. I had to pivot both in my position in the family and where I went to go talk to people. You know, I found myself more pivoting to rely on God for direction. So it's a major time of pivoting. And regardless of who you are, whether you're married, whether you're single, your entire life is about pivoting. You have to pivot in business. You have to pivot in your health. And it was even that way in our ministry. We started out as a church plant, spent a number of years trying to plant a church here in our neighborhood. All the things that we went through for that and the many times we pivoted during that time period. But there came a point about 10 years into it where we could tell the direction was this was closing. This chapter of our ministry was ending. It was very obvious that God was moving us on to something else. And then something happened that we weren't expecting. And we
God
pivoted.
God opened
yes.
a door to us that there is no way that a man could have opened that door on his own.
Yes. And so we pivoted to doing a sports ministry. I mean, Jamie and I ran a USA swim team for 7 years, and we've told each other a number of times we ministered more in a pastoral role with the swim team families
yes.
than we did church planning.
And I think it allowed us to come in contact with many people that had never accepted the Lord, really had no knowledge of Jesus and his love and his saving grace. And it opened a door for us to be able to minister to people that normally may not walk through your church doors. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a God thing, and it allowed us to minister just in ways that we were never able to minister in our church plant.
True. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020 and the pool we were using was shut down, and we went for a very long time just kind of in a state of limbo, and it came to the point of realizing this door is closed, and that's what, you know, we had to pivot.
And little by little, God has just again began to point directions for us and what he wants us to do.
Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And for me, the hardest part of that is lean not on your own understanding. I'm somebody who I like to think things through. I will mull over something for a very long time, and I'll see a direction that I think looks right. In my mind, it's like, okay, this is how this is going to happen. A, B, C, D, this is how it's going to happen. And invariably, that's not the way that it happens.
Yeah, I find for myself, I love organization. I love a plan. And that was probably the hardest thing about sailing, is it's very hard to have a plan and be organized, because when the winds are always moving, you're always having to adjust. And it makes it really hard. And definitely trusting in the Lord with all your heart can be difficult in life when the winds are changing all the time and you feel like, okay, this is the way I should go. And then all of a sudden things don't go really the way that you think they're going to go. In that verse, it says, in all your ways, not in some of your ways,
yes,
but in all your ways, submit to him. And because I think sometimes we want to give God some of our things. Oh, here, God, you can take care of this part. I'll keep this part to myself. And that doesn't work. You have to give God everything.
True.
You have to submit everything to him.
True. And that comes to point number two, which is being willing to trust God's direction.
Yes.
You know, Psalms 32:8 in the Amplified Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn with my eye upon you.
That's one of the reasons why I liked the Amplified translation of this, is it says, who are willing to learn. I yes. think that many people are not willing to learn.
No, because it goes back to the whole thing of leaning on your own understanding. I think that we as people, just human beings, have this idea that we know best. And
yeah,
this is the way God has to go. And this is how this is going to happen. There is so many things in our life where I can say, I had no idea what we were going to do. There were so many situations, especially in times of need, where it was like, what are we going to do? I mean, you would look at me, well, what are we going to do? And I hated to look at you and say, I don't know.
You didn't know, but you know what? What I've learned in my walk with Jesus is the Bible clearly says, when you don't know what to do, God challenges us to ask him.
Yes.
You ask me, and I'll tell you what to do.
Yes.
But I think many times we don't ask because we think we know what to do. And when we do ask, and God tells us what to do, we don't want to listen to that.
True. God's instruction comes through very many different ways. I mean, it can come through reading the Bible and seeing something in Scripture and being like, okay, this is the way God wants me to go. It's also in getting godly counsel. You'll know when something's truth. The other part would be point number three, which is accepting that pivoting is part of the process. God has taken us on a journey and a pivoting process where most of the time we're in the background.
Yes.
Most of the time, nobody knows what we're doing. And for the longest time, I had a hard time with that. And God had to work on my heart because I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be big. I wanted to be those people I saw on TV and listened to and so on. And it took a lot of years to just learn, you know what? I'm happy doing exactly what God wants me to do. If nobody ever knows my name, that's not important. how am I serving God? And so therefore you have that where you have to accept the pivoting process.
You do. And I think one of the verses that came to mind is 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever."
That is a great verse. I like that. No, I think the fourth point would be our joy is the outcome, not necessarily the process. And to kind of explain what that means, I think so many times what we're going through seems so bad and we don't necessarily have to enjoy the process.
I will say this, you know, there is the sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
And I can honestly say I'm very familiar with what that is. You know, it's those moments in your life, whether you're at home, whether you're with your church family, whether with your husband, you're by yourself, just you and the Lord. It's those times in life where you're going through very difficult times. In other words, times that in the natural would not be a joyful experience, but you're able to just raise your hands and sing to the Lord. To me, that's the sacrifice of praise. It's being able to praise God despite the joyful times that are not happening in your life, but continue to just praise Him, even though this isn't a good time.
Yes. Well, and it goes back to what you just read out of 2 Corinthians. It says, "For our present troubles are small and they won't last long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them."
Absolutely.
"And will last forever."
Mm, very good.
So don't look at your troubles you can see now, but fix your gaze on that which cannot be seen. And that's the whole thing. We don't know what the outcome is. We don't know where it is that we're going, and we have to trust God.
But we're guaranteed that it's going to be for our good. God says in His word, it's going to be for our good.
And absolutely.
We don't see that. We may not see that. We don't have a clue what that is, but if we trust God and we believe in Him, we know that it's going to be for our good.
Absolutely.
And the joy that I think is spoken about is not so much joy in the problems themselves, but it's a joy in knowing this is going to produce something in me that's going to be worth everything on the end.
It kind of made me think I was looking at the book of James as we were preparing for this. And I like how he has this verse, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." You know, I really like that part where it says, "when the way is rough." It helps remind us that life is going to be difficult and the wind is going to change. You know, I want to go back to the beginning where we talked about the ship captain and the lighthouse. So many times we are the ship captain. We've set our course. We've made our plans. We've laid everything out perfectly. And we just start sailing. But usually something gets in our way. And when that happens, a lot of times we just look at it. We say, "You need to move. You need to get out of my way. This is the way I have to go." But what if that immovable object in your path is God's perfect plan for you? That's where it forces us to pivot our plans, change our course. It's in times like these we need to just remember that God is in control and that He has great plans for you, my friend. Just remember, pivot and keep on sailing.
Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I want to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit www.holeintheroof.co. You also can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you are in need of prayer, we would be more than honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer requests, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next week as we invite you back into our living room as we discuss how awesome God is.